So this was in the depths of my investigation. That video was released, and I saw something that has shaken me to my core. And it was Namjoon, you know, he's my bestie. But at the time, I was not having bestie thoughts. I was having thoughts. And Jin, oh my God, Jin. Okay, I'm going to... Okay, let me watch my voice, because May says that she May. Okay, you know, May says that I moan when I talk about Jin. So let me just like not do that. What's up? Hello. Welcome to Grown Ass Fandom. This is Shanae. Welcome to the first episode of Grown Ass Fandom of the year. Hello. I'm excited to record. It's been a while. It's so crazy to like come back now. I think that I used to do this every week. Like I have been struggling just to get this in. The amount of stuff I was doing was just crazy. So thank you for your patience. We have so much to discuss. So much to discuss. There's so much that's like been on my mind. If you do not follow me on Instagram, you should definitely do that. I'm on there every single day. And I feel like a lot of my energy has gone into that space as far as like, you know, getting my thoughts out quicker and like kind of forming thoughts has been on Instagram. And I've also been on TikTok. I guess we can go ahead and talk about this now. I've been knee deep in an investigation. So one of the things that happened or that is happening as I record this. As I'm recording this, so BTS has put out their collections and everybody's collection has gone out except for JK. And, oh my gosh, JK. I had a dream about JK, which I will not divulge the details of. That has made me like, I can't even look at him. And it's not like, it's not what you think. Like, it's not, it's like so hard to explain, but I literally cannot tell you. And I know that you guys are like, since when do you not tell us stuff? But like, I cannot tell you. And so just like the idea of him makes me just, you know, it gives me whatever. But so he's what's last. And everybody else has released their collections. And one of the things that has been sort of like very, very obvious is like how difficult it is to get these collections. Like they sell out in 1 second. And so I just was wondering why. I've never been in a, I don't really, so I didn't even buy my tickets, right? Like, I mean, I bought my tickets, but I didn't buy them myself. And so I've never been in a high stress buying environment. I tried to get twice tickets and I didn't get them. But as far as like an actual purchasing something specific, I've never been in a high stress buying experience. So I thought that it was like very, very confusing. Why? I'm confused about a lot of different things, right? One, I'm confused as to why so much marketing money, time, and energy was put into these products when it's very clear that they did not have the supply to meet the demand of ARMY. Because within my research, so I basically researched a lot of things. It's like, is this on purpose? Why do things cost as much as they do? If you want more about that, you should go look at my TikToks. You know, I think that the pricing model is reflective of the fact that they can literally, I remember when I went into HYBE, they were like literally selling things that were made of BTS clothes and they were selling them. So like, I think the pricing structure, things are expensive because they can be. Everybody always complains about the prices of BTS stuff, but everybody always buys it. When I went to the concert, people were in line for hours and hours and hours. The way that BTS has sort of wrapped capitalism around love is something that I don't know if people will write papers about, but they should. And so, you know, things are priced the way they're priced because they can be priced that way, because they're BTS. Also, like I mentioned on my video, the sort of like core, I mean, I feel like my audience specifically is a real reflection of that. I have a very few sister wives, sister, brother, husband, sibling, partners who are under 18. I would say that probably the floor for a grown-ass fandom, a member of the grown-ass fandom, is probably 25. And so like everybody is, and then like literally for me, like my audience specifically, because I feel like I have people who are like, you know, in their 20s and younger than me. And then it's just like people who are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. So like there's like, I think that the reflection, and I don't know if ARMY has always been this way, but it's definitely like that now. And so that reflects higher prices. If you're an adult who makes money, $200 for a bag is not really that big of a deal, especially when you have the added kind of like intimacy, the intimacy tax of BTS on it. Intimacy tax is like, it's like, it's a term I made. I make up a lot of my terms. If I'm not using like formal business terms, I'm making them up. But like, I feel like the intimacy tax that you pay for these items, because of the fact that it's BTS and we have such a strong connection with them, and people are willing to pay exorbitant prices for just that intimacy tax. And I just find it, I find it all so interesting. Like, you know, when I was researching, I saw that like V's bag was going for like $5,000, $600, whatever, and people were buying it. And I was just like, it's just really fascinating how it all works and how sort of like the emergence of BTS coincides with the emergence of influencer culture. It's just really something else. It's really something else. But yeah, and so like the price is whatever. Right. Like the prices are what they are because they can literally charge whatever they want because it's BTS. The availability is just weird. Like I said, it's just odd because from my guesstimation and my estimates, I don't think that they had more than 1,000 of each of these items available. And if that was the case, why do they need all of this marketing? Like, why do they need BTS to sort of do their kind of like their thing, like their kind of, what is this fucking called? Like, not the Hallmark Channel. Help me out. What is it? Not the Hallmark Channel. Home Shopping Network. They're HSN beat. Why do they have to do that if ultimately most people were not going to be able to get it? Because that's what happened. The only thing that I really wanted is those fucking pots. Like, I am a botanical bitch. If you know me, I am a plant mom, a proud plant mom. I wanted those pots so bad. And I even used the skills that I learned from researching bots, and I still couldn't get it. And that's confusing to me. Like, if they knew, here's the thing, right? Like, if they knew that it was going to be 1,000 things, all they really had to do was put their faces on it, say, this is from the boys, and send it off, and people would have bought it, and it wouldn't have been such a big deal, and so many people wouldn't have gotten so excited. So that makes me believe that perhaps, again, they're going to, like, keep restocking these items. So like these, like every year. So we're in this year, it's January. And so like maybe every single year, especially if they enlist during enlistment, which by the way, oh my God, you know what I heard? So like if Blackpink doesn't do anything by March of this year, I think it's like March or April this year, they will have not released anything for as long as a enlistment. Isn't that fucking wild? And like a lot of people who went in are like gonna be coming out soon. That's how this time has gone. So I think that like hearing the thing about Blackpink, like, really was upsetting to me as a blank. So anyway, like I was saying, so they could be setting it up to where there's a product that comes out this year and then a product that comes out next year. And depending on how they do enlistment, which is like, what is it, like 18 months, right? 18 to 24 months. They can sort of set it up to where those products are kind of like, and their images are still there while they're gone. So that's like one way that they could do it, is that, you know, these are products that hopefully will be restocked. Because if they were just exclusive releases and there's all this marketing push behind it and so few people are going to be getting it, I just don't understand. I just don't understand the point of it exactly. Another thing that I did is that I was like really, really into the financial reports for HYBE. I was really studying those and looking at some of the trends. And, you know, there's been a kind of like a pretty big, I mean, 25% is pretty big decrease of merch. And I don't know if that's merch sales or if that's just like a reallocation of resources. But one of the things that they're really, really heavy on, obviously, because of the pandemic, is content. The content category went up, I don't know, like something like 1,000%. And the content category is like In the Soup, the concerts, stuff like that. Now, if they are able to couture before they enlist or they go, I'll be curious to see how things shift. I mean, really HYBE just adapts. One of the things that they've realized is that people will, like, literally, I think the scariest thing about this is that people will buy anything because of like the intimacy tax, right? And so they can sort of just play around with what they want to do. And I'm sure this was more of an experiment. Getting into the merchandising business is not a little thing, right? It's one thing to make sort of like the 2020 memories and the calendars and all that shit. It's quite another thing to make like pots and some of these other objects that require more complex processes and makes them going into sort of like a bigger type of business, right? And this also had me thinking about, you know, how one of the things that HYBE talked about in that Billboard article that everybody hates was how they were also looking towards user generated products. And I also wonder if Weverse is going to open up for independent ARMY creators. So yeah, I just am curious to see kind of how this fits in the model, because, and I'll kind of have a better sense, I think, of how much, because, oh my God, their reporting is very, very vague, but I think using the baseline, I can sort of kind of get a sense of maybe how much they were able to sell, especially since, although I guess we'll see what happens, because I guess the concert is happening this quarter too. The Seoul concert is happening this quarter. And so merchandising stuff from that will also factor into that number, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, I think that obviously, I don't think obviously the collections are not for nothing. They're likely an experiment. I think it's an experiment to help set them up for profitability, more kind of sort of like, modes of income while they enlist. You know, we saw, I think that testing out the home shopping network model is a good model, because like if you look at their hair, they recorded those videos, like, so the videos that I used Namjoon as sort of like my kind of holding place for kind of when those videos happened. And it was clear that they happened around the time that he did that live, whenever that was. And that was earlier in 2021. So it shows you how much planning and advanced they are able to do. And they might have already created their second collection, their second sort of items. And I guess we'll see kind of like how much this part of their brand will take up their overall business model. I think one of the issues, like I said, is that in my research, Weverse is like really has been reported a bunch of times for selling faulty products, for stuff being late. Obviously, getting into the merchandising business is kind of like not the smartest things right now with all the supply chain issues. But again, when you have the intimacy tax attached to everything, it gives you a lot of leeway. So I wanted to talk about that first and sort of like what I think is going on with all that. Mostly, I am also just, again, I'm going to talk about this later, and it's like, how much can ARMY take? I just, in my comments of my videos where I talk about this, everybody is really frustrated and disappointed and kind of hurt about how they couldn't participate in this aspect of the BTS experience. And I was trying to compare it to, like, say, you know, trying to get concert tickets. But I think this feels worse because it's not necessarily a scarcity. It shouldn't be a scarcity issue, not necessarily. So it feels like there's some intentionality in the scarcity, and that I'm sure it hurts. Like I said, I really wanted my fucking pots, and it shouldn't be that hard. People want to give them money and they're not wanting to take it. And again, is it business model, operational cost, all these things? There's a lot of aspects. One of the things about BTS is that the desire is so strong. Like everybody, it's like the nature of the relationship is that it's just a lot of yearning and intense feelings, and buying something is a nice way to help to sort of feed or kind of quench the thirst in a way. And so there's a lot of demand for things, not for all things. Like when I went to the shop, it's interesting what's still there and what's not. But for something that feels like it's close to the BTS members, it's kind of like when, you know, people, whenever I see like something, or my friends will like get me something with BTS on it, it just feels exciting. And I always go back and forth about this. Like, I think a lot about our experience when I was younger with like B2K, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys. I wasn't a One Directioner. I think I was just slightly too old for that. But our experience with those bands didn't feel intimate. Like, I feel like the way we experienced them was like we experience, say, a Tom Holland or like a celebrity, like a Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, they're posters on our wall, but we love them. But you didn't have that extra layer of, of having the, like, they were positioned more as like boyfriends, as like in a figurehead way and like a metaphorical way, in like fantasies where they are fantasies. Like, for example, and I'm curious if this experience is closer to how like somebody who's 16 experiences them, where it's like it feels like a fantasy, right? But the fantasies about BTS feel very intimate and very real because they're positioned to be kind of real. And so getting their detergent or getting their whatever feels like a way to get close. I always think about the way that the sister, wife, brother, husbands, sibling, partners talk about BTS and the intimacy that they have with them, and like what they want to do with them and how they express themselves through those relationships. I'm not immune. Like, I feel like I have my own sort of like discourse with the members. I would say that, like, definitely Namjoon, I always feel like I have kind of a discourse with in my head as far as like the things I want to discuss with him and kind of like, you know, stuff like that. So it's not like it's something that's just for those ARMY, but I think that the way that that combines with this collection and the experience of feeling like you can't have that, even though it's presented like this, the feeling of like this is something that's really personal to us and we're giving it to you, but only if you get there 1 second in. I don't know. And maybe it's not like that because ARMY is used to not being able to get things, because it is, I mean, we've talked a little bit about class in ARMY, and it is such a big thing. So much, there's so much shit around class when it comes to being a BTS fan. And I think that that didn't really exist within the past either. So I think that that's the other thing. It's just that, like, is ARMY ever going to be like, okay, that's enough? Or is it just something that, because of that closeness and because of the work they've done to cultivate a specific relationship, it's never going to be enough? Just thoughts I'm thinking. Like I said, I'm not somebody who cares about that shit. Like, there's only two things I've ever wanted. Like I said, I want the pots. And I was like going back and forth about that condom shirt that Hobie wore, and I almost got it. By the time I was like, yes, I want it, it was sold out. And then there's like this other shirt that Hobie has, but it's like stuff that I don't necessarily want to be close to them. It's stuff that I want because it's cool. But yeah, that's something else that I'm thinking about. It's like, you know, is it fun if you feel like you can? And I've just seen so much disappointment. Everybody's so disappointed in upset and feel jealous and all this stuff. And again, I feel like one of the themes I'm going to be kind of going through in this podcast, or and then part two of this podcast, I feel like it's going to be split into two. It's just sort of like, what is the validity of having these conversations of like, what am I saying all this shit for, you know? And one thing is that I feel like everybody goes through a lot of real pain and real suffering around BTS. And some people, it's fun suffering, and some people it's not. And I think bringing attention to these things, I hope, eases the suffering and helps put context to it so that you can sort of ground yourself into the reality of that BTS is a band that you really, really love and enjoy. And it's an experience that's worthwhile, and it's a fantasy, but ultimately capitalism. And so when these things happen, it's not anything to do with you, nor does it affect your love or your affection for BTS. It's just a function of the system that they've built. Anyways, as far as like the products themselves, like I said, I really wanted that fucking pot. I wanted the pot so bad. My favorite products is I thought that, let's go through them. We'll go through each of them, right? We'll start at the beginning. Let me kind of just use this time to again kind of like express how obsessed I am with Jin, Kim Seok Jin, the marketer, the man, the lover of a thick bitch. I just love Jin. Like I've said many, many times before, I feel like Jin is like the blueprint, because he's like such a model for, I don't know, he just like, because he is able to create good distance between him and his actual persona and who he is. I feel like your relationship with Jin always feels very healthy and very fantasy-like. And also the man is such a good marketer. The way that he talks about business, the way he talked about his pajamas, sort of like his vision for the pajamas and the pillows, was really, really good. You know, the idea of having good boy, bad boy pajamas, which I guess like we were all talking about, it's like brat tamer pajamas. It's just brilliant, because people obviously probably wanted both pair. It just is like, he's just a genius. So I really, really love those products. Really, really hate sort of Hybe's insistence that everybody who's a fan of them is tiny and doesn't have any size diversity. I'm sorry to say, but the BTS Army is a thick bunch, a real thick bunch. When I went to that concert, a lot of thick bitches there. And I mean, this with love, being a thick bitch myself. And they should increase their size, just because I feel like it would just be amazing. So I think as far as like marketing and understanding of like what people want and what his audience wants, I feel like he just like knocked it out of the park. I just thought it was like a really good idea. And it's just like, we know that Jin is going to be rich for the rest of his life, and he's going to keep making stuff, and he can be a hostess and sell stuff. That's great. And then we have Namjoon, bestie. I've decided to rebrand my relationship with Namjoon, and he is now my bestie. My friend Sasha, if you have not listened to the podcast with Sasha, go listen to it. We talk about being a multi-stan with Sasha, and she's like, she doesn't feel anything for the BTS members. Like, she just is like, oh, I feel nothing sexually. I just like, those are like my bros or whatever. And I was like, oh, wow. And so I'm trying that, and I'm starting with Namjoon. So like whenever I see Namjoon, I'm like, yes, bestie, get it. I'm happy for your development and your growth as a person. Please eat dinner and tell your friends to do the same. Okay, so he had the, what's it called? Fuck, my mind is not what it used to be. Wind chime, which was really cute. I love the fish. I just thought it was like a very Namjoon thing. I guess when we talk about the Instagrams, we'll talk about sort of like Namjoon influencer. But I'll just start by saying that it just, his pics were just like such influencer pics. The idea of him going for sweatpants, and I'm dying to know if that was actually his idea. It was just a pure genius, seeing as how he's a whore, and we know that he's a whore because of those pants that he wears. The sweatpants are a part of his whore agenda. So I just thought that was good. Just him wearing them. And then, oh my god, this is a good time to talk about this fucking photo card, the POV, you're on the ground and I'm looking up at you. Namjoon, let me tell you something, and maybe this is why I started with him with my bestie agenda. Namjoon is so fucking savvy. Like, he gets it. Like, he pretends that he's like this, oh my god, like, I just like, you know, things, blah, 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 blah. What am I fucking saying? But he, like, listens to Army. He watches everything. And he moves through the world in a way that makes it so that he deeply understands what's going on. You know, one of my, like, okay, I'm going to stay on track, but I'm going to say this one thing. I was looking at the reports, and then I was looking at extrapolations of the reports. So I was looking at sort of like business magazines and stuff who were like going through the reports in detail and kind of picking up certain like things like, oh, this is what did this. And one of the things that was really interesting was that, you know, when all that shit, I don't think I talked about the biting incident, which was the one incident, and then the incident with the almost kiss between, you know, Jimin and JK, and how that footage was like around as it was being sold. What was really interesting about that, though, is that that quarter was in trouble until that product. So Memories 2020 saved that quarter. But anyway, so that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that like a lot of these like interactions and the reactions that we are having to certain things that BTS is doing is engineered by design. Like I said, like I don't have my Patreon anymore, but I do, like I said, one of my favorite things I've ever created this year was the OnlyFans episode, which is like my bonus podcast that I made about BTS and spaghetti films and the spaghetti industry and the fantasy industry, which is all about feeding you what you want. And I think that I always sort of thought of that sort of like feeding you what you want as something that was like more of like a Maknae line game. But I feel like now that I've seen his Instagram and everything else, like he's like the mastermind of all of this. Like for me and to me, I just feel like he is like just like a shrewd marketer and he just deeply understands what's happening. And I feel like people don't give him enough credit for not just being like an amazing like mind, but also like a really like really strategically understanding how like what his role is in the group and like, you know, how like putting like, you know, there'll be clips where he's like will pull up one of their shirts or he'll like goad them to say something. Like he gets that aspect of it. And I guess it could be true that the version of this that includes him as like super super desirable is new for him, but I think that he's always very responsive to it and he really really understands. And like, you know, so many of his images in his Instagram seem to be such like responses to stuff that we've said or we've responded to. Like he just really gets it. And he's just like such an influencer about all this. And so that's why I thought that his collection really made sense. So, okay, so that was Namjoon. And who was next? It was Jimin, right? Jimin? The earrings were so Jimin. The sweatshirt surprised me. Wait. Oh, no. Suga was next. Okay, yeah. So Suga did, like, the sort of, like, girl boss, a sort of, like, notebook cover thing, which I kind of wanted that, too. I just thought that it was just really, really funny that that's what he chose. And, like, and then all of us, like, stationary nerds were just like, oh my God. I hope they resell it. Like, the stuff that I'm going to try to get if it restocks is I want my fucking Hobie pots, which I'll talk about a little bit. And I kind of want Hobie's bag too. I like the idea of Tae's bag, but I'm never going to wear it. Like I am a crossbody. All I wear is like crossbody, tiny bags and then like backpacks. So I thought that, and then the pick necklace was just like not of my style, but I liked how personal it felt. I guess Suga stuff felt more like, I don't know. Like I thought that the notebook was very personal to him. The necklace, I don't know. Let me know what you thought about Suga's collection. Okay. And then Jimin, I really like the earrings. I kind of wanted the earrings as well. I thought they were very, like, true to him. Oh, whoa. Going back to talk about, like, the videos, Suga's video when he was making decisions and stuff was, like, the sexiest thing ever. I just thought it was, like, really hot. He was, like all the other guys, like, it's so funny because, like I said, we talk about, like, their personalities and, like, who's nice, who's not, who's whatever. And Suga, like, everybody else was like, ha, 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 like, asking questions. And he was like, nay, nay, yes, yes, uh-huh, okay, okay, okay. Just, like, very efficient. And I just thought it was, like, really, really sexy how efficient he was in his decision makings. We love to see it. Love Suga. Let's see. So that was Suga. And then Jimin, the earrings. Okay. The sweatshirt I thought was really interesting. I thought he was going to do something that was like more in alignment with his personal style, but his decision was really like army focused. I don't know if I'm going to have time today to talk about like what is going to be in my essay on Instagram about sort of like the ways in which Jimin really holds the energy of the army relationship as like his role and the intimacy and the way that he gives. He's like the perfect idol slash spaghetti star, because the thing about him is that like there is something authentically that yearns for connection and like needs and like loves and sort of like really eats the love of ARMY in a way, and is feeling like he constantly, you know what I mean? And so if you channel that into a product, that's what the sweatshirt was. And so I just thought that that was really interesting. I think the way that they position each of the items and the way that they're talked about and stuff like that is kind of cool, because like you can sort of see a layer of the branding. And for Jimin, they were like, feel Jimin's love or something like that. And I was like, that's pointed. Really interesting. Okay, so then, and then Hobi, right? So we did Jin, Namjoon, Suga, and then Jin. Oh, Tae was second. I totally skipped K. So Tae, he had the bag. The bag is great. I really, really like that bag. I just don't think that I would ever use it, but I thought that it was like really good. His video of him making decisions about that bag was also really, really sexy. I could see him. I also thought that this was a really good case study of like who kind of has like the vision for kind of like an actual like line, and like who would like enjoy it and could get it. And I would say that I'm curious to see how JK does, but for me, I would say that definitely like Tae has vision. His aesthetic is clear enough and executable enough to do it. I think that obviously Jin has vision. I'm curious how he would expand it, because like I said, it's very like a very marketing decision. But yeah, I definitely think Tae could definitely do a collection and completely like keep expanding out. I don't think that Jimin, I guess we can like all just not let our hopes hold held up for like Jimin doing some type of collection, because it seemed like that whole process killed him in a way. It like took a lot from him. He was just like, oh, I thought that was really sweet. Okay, but yeah, the brooches and the bag, I thought that it was really good. Tae's collection was very, 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 very strong. Also, speaking of the Jimin sort of video of the sweatshirts and the earrings, let me tell you something. So this was in the depths of my investigation. That video was released and I saw something that has shaken me to my core. And it was Namjoon, you know, he's my bestie. But at the time I was not having bestie thoughts. I was having thoughts. And Jin, oh my God, Jin. Okay, let me watch my voice. Because May says that May says that I moan when I talk about Jin. So let me just like not. Jin, he is like wearing the purple sweatshirt and he's got earrings on and he's just like sitting looking like a boyfriend making ramen. And he like, I think the thing that makes like, I don't have a bias, right? But, and Jin is, the reason why I talk about Jin so much and hype him up so much is because I feel like my attraction to Jin is very, very fresh. Like, I just started being so into him. And so it always shocks me. And I'm still like learning a lot. And he never wears earrings. And he really should. Like, I can't even describe, like, you know how I used to be so good at like being like, it's giving. And it's like, I don't have any words. It's just boyfriend. And I feel like there's a word deeper than boyfriend. It's like giving soulmates vibes. Like you walk into a party and you see him and you're like, oh, this person's gonna ruin my life for the rest of my life type vibes. That's what it gave. That's truly what it gave. And yeah, he's just, and then Namjoon, and he had his fucking thighs out. Did you hear me slap my thigh? He had his thighs out, and that dog, that like fake dog, work, was me. It was basically me. So yeah, okay. And then Hobie's, I love the pots. That's why I wanted them. I really wanted the pots. I'm so bummed that I couldn't get them. And the bag is really cute. And his process making it, I thought was really sweet. And I just loved his video. He's just great. He's just that bitch. I just love him. And I, you know, it's so funny how Jimin just continues to like let his kinks and his desires out in the open. This has been like what, the third or fourth time that I've seen him pose like a bodybuilder. And so like, how often is he watching these bodybuilder competitions? Is it like his thing? Oh, I would pay big money to just get into his mind and think like how far reaching is it? You know what I mean? Because I mean, we all know he's a muscle kink, but he really does. Like, it's just, oh, Jimin. Well, I hope he's doing well. I hope he's having a good day and enjoying his day. Okay, so that's pretty much about the collections. I want to know what you think. What was your favorite collection? Like I said, by the time this comes out, Jungkook's has not come out yet, but I'm curious what he decides to do with his collection. He's got such an eye for things, but yeah, let's move on. Okay, so before we get to the questions, I feel like I'm not gonna, so maybe next week we do like all the Q&As, because I feel like right now I'm not gonna be able to get to all of them because I'm already kind of going through time here. So let's look at the Instagrams. Talk about the Instagram strategy. What it's been like to have Instagram, the boys on Instagram, and all the thoughts that I've had since. I have to go to the groups. I have to go to each member individually because I do not follow them. Because when it first happened, it was just like, it really intense. Like, it was really overwhelming, all the content and stuff, and just like the brunt. It was just a lot. Okay, so first of all, let's talk about like the implications of them being on Instagram to begin with, right? So, you know, God, I have so much to say. Do I think that them having Instagrams is a part of the next chapter? I don't know. I mean, it could have just been a part of their effort to kind of make it not so hardcore when they decided to take a break. Like, for example, last time they did vlogs, this time they are doing Instagram. I think that it's kind of a risky choice, actually, because, you know, one of the things that I feel like makes BTS so attractive to people is that the kind of their manness and the way that they are is kind of curated in a way so that you have kind of like limited exposure to the potential to get the icks, right? Everything is really carefully curated so that you don't hit on something that makes you turned off in some shape or form. And I know that people will say that that's not the case and that they love the members where they are. They love the this and it's just, you know, it's not true. Your whatever you feel right now about any of the BTS members is less about who they are and more about the sort of fantasy that's been cultivated for you. And it's more about what's been included and then what has not been included as a way to kind of facilitate a fantasy and intimacy bond with these members without much resistance, right? And this is something I'm fine with because I understand that the BTS experience is a fantasy one and it is just like engaging with Star Wars or anything else, and it is not meant to be real. And also because of the way that they've been able to curate them carefully through these Bangtan Bonds, through these videos, through these V lives, helps establish that. But once you put somebody on Instagram and you give them the freedom and the space to cultivate and kind of express themselves for themselves, there's a risk at breaking that spell. You know, there is a real risk at breaking that spell. Whether or not it broke it for you or not is going to be your individual preference and like according to like your type. But that's a whole other thing, right? The whole point of BTS is that they can be whatever you want them to be. And this is something, I mean, when we get to the questions, I feel like this is something I will kind of go into depth with later. But that's the whole point, is that even though they have these like personality tweaks and these like things, they're often put into context of your fantasy experience of them. I feel like I've gotten even more understanding of this principle since really getting into fan fiction, because what fan fiction does, and I've been trying to like make it a point to read all types of fan fiction. So for a long time, I kind of avoided the shipping fan fiction and stuff like that because of my own kind of like complicated relationship with that sort of like genre of fantasy within the BTS experience. I've since sort of like made peace with shipping in a way, and I also am interested to sort of like read those depictions because of how I was told that they were different, and I was just like avoiding reading them, and I was reading them and it is different. Like, and I think that it's interesting because I think that it's all fantasy, right? Like everybody has a version of their fantasy, and your fantasy as it kind of pertains to BTS is really dependent on how you view yourself and how you view their experience and how you're reading upon their experience. And so when you put them on Instagram, you are asking the members to kind of take some of that responsibility away for, take some of that kind of control away from ARMY and craft your own point of view and kind of express yourself as you deem fit. And so the results of that have been really interesting, to say the least. And so I figured we'd go through each member and talk about it. I guess, like, what was my experience with it? Like, I think, like I said, I was really overwhelmed at first. I found it, it's really, it's like, wow. Like, I was just talking about this on Instagram about how, like, you know, quarantine ARMY have an extra layer of delusion. And it's mostly because we do not experience the scope experience of BTS. We don't experience BTS through the lens of their bigness like other ARMY tend to, because all of our experience with them has been incredibly intimate. Like, I remember when I first started getting into BTS, I was watching Bon Voyage and I watched their Bang Bang Kong concert, and there was like nobody there, and they were doing their promotions for Dynamite and they weren't going anywhere. So it was just like me and them. And I would look at past performances and I knew that there was like a ton of people there, but it doesn't really feel that way, 'cause you're also like watching like the behind the scenes. It all feels like very intimate and close. You combine that with, like I said, a very clear effort to make sure that, you know, they don't give you the icks. So I think that what happens with Instagram is that you see your name and you're one of like 30 million bitches if you are a Tay, if you follow Tay, you know, anywhere from 23 to 30 other bitches. Then it's clear, right? And then you're like, oh shit, this is what this is. I'm a part and I'm a fan of something that's like way bigger than I thought it was. And I thought that it was like me experiencing this with my friends. But everybody wants to fuck these guys. Everybody wants to feel close to them. Everybody. And I've just found that fact overwhelming. I think I just don't like, I'm just gonna be like 100% honest with you. And being like part of this kind of unit is just like, it's not it's not something that I've loved, I'll tell you that much. And of course it's like one of those things where like I'm learning to surrender. Like surrender is like one of my words for this year. I'm gonna get a tattoo inspired by it, just experience and stuff like that. But yeah, like I think that was intense and having just like kind of really seeing in real life, like really kind of the edges being blurred, like fully understanding how you're just another bitch. Like I've been saying that I'm just another bitch that loves Namjoon for like months now, but it's truly that. Like it's that. Also, I think I'm gonna make, should I make just another bitch that loves Namjoon shirts or like mugs or something? I have my grown-ass army shirts are done. I just have to find a retailer who will go up in sizes for me. Maybe I'll start with mugs. Okay, so yeah. So yeah, that was my experience of it. It's just that, like, you know, they're taking over their kind of point of view, and kind of it's interesting to see how they express themselves. So should we go in fan chant order or should we go in age order? Let's go in fan chant order. So we're doing Namjoon first. Oh my god. Okay. So Namjoon is a lot of art. So I feel like all the members and people swear I'm a Namjoon anti, and I feel like I give them so much that they can point to. It just is so frustrating. One of the most frustrating thing about being an army is how like love, like it, this idea that in order to love somebody or to appreciate somebody, you cannot have anything to say about them. And if you do, that means you don't love them. It has to be one of the most frustrating parts about being army. It has to be. Like, I'm not even like making bad critiques. I'm just like talking about it. So like I said earlier, Namjoon is the Instagram influencer of the birth, the YouTube influencer. He kind of reminds me of sort of like almost like a Casey Neistat. Do you remember Casey Neistat? Type of kind of like, not Casey Neistat, like the guys who follow Casey Neistat and were like obsessed with him because of his intentionality with his images. And, you know, I feel like one of the things that I find, I'm gonna stop saying interesting because that's like my word, fascinating about the way that he has constructed his image is that he is maintaining distance. Like, it's very curated. He's really controlling how you're seeing him in a very intentional way. There's been a lot of videos on TikTok, and I've been really into this TikTok channel. I will kind of put in the comments that talks about the hyper real. And I've been watching her videos about the Kardashians and the hyper real, and it reminds me so much of K-pop. And I just find that Namjoon's, you know, kind of like artsy, sensitive, kind of looking at the world this way approach to his Instagram is sort of a really telling choice, given that he's given the free rein to express himself and to represent himself any way he wants, that he chooses this way to do it. I think it's really sweet that he puts so much energy and excitement into making sure that his images look really good and kind of, like I said, give off the impression and the vision that he feels like represents him. There's some really good boyfriend images here. I really loved, especially his first couple Instagrams. I think, again, when I talk about, like, again, earlier, I spent a lot of time talking about how, like, Namjoon plays the game. I thought that the heart emoji in Namjoon's supposed boyfriend, I think it's so great. I hope it's his boyfriend. And I also think the response to the Namjoon boyfriend thing was really interesting to me, because we were just screaming about Namjoon and Megan. And so it's all fake. So we have to be like kind of more open about the possibilities. It's so funny though. I was telling a sibling partner about this, and I think I put this on my Instagram about how my friends, two of my best friends who live down the street from me, they don't know anything about K-pop. I constantly am testing them on their names, and I feel like the people that they always know, of course, is like Namjoon, and they know Jungkook. But I was telling them about like how first of all, I've asked them, like, what do they think about the members? What do they think the status are? And I'm not going to share that just because I feel like, you know, whatever. But for Namjoon, I told them about the Namjoon controversy, and they proceeded to create this, like, long, in-depth kind of fanfic about how it's like me and Namjoon and Namjoon's boyfriend, and Namjoon's boyfriend is like who I'm in love with, and it's like this whole push and pull, and it's like this crazy love triangle, and everybody keeps like going back and forth, and just like the creation of that story is so funny to me, and it's just like such a good example of how all this is just ridiculous and fake, and who fucking cares if that's his boyfriend or not, you know? It doesn't really matter. It's whatever you want it to be, because it's all a fantasy. But it was an interesting time, because people were really, everybody is so invested in their own version of who Namjoon is supposed to be. And again, like, I think that of course there's like an heteronormative fantasy to it, but I mean, I also, when I was talking to somebody who's a part of the queer community about this, they said the same thing. It's like, it's fantasy on both ends, right? Like, everybody wants it to be what they want it to be, and everybody wants to disprove other people's perspective on what it could be, and they want to undercut it and like overstate it and be like, don't pay attention to that, blah, blah, blah. It's just, it's all fucking fake. Everybody should be able to think whatever they want. So it's just like a lot of art. I was joking that I was like, Namjoon, baby, do you go anywhere else? There's lots of fun things to do in Seoul. I've been there. There's lots of things you can experience. But I find he's been taking so many good boyfriend pictures. There's so many pictures that me and my friends were like, oh, we should send this to our parents, our moms. And they'll be like, oh, that's him. Renee Howard would lose it. She would be like, what? Okay. So that's Namjoon. Let me know what you think about Namjoon's. I think it's great. I'm happy for him. I think he's really enjoying Instagram. And I do think that it's like a form of like a really great way for him to, oh my God, it's going to be a long podcast. It's a really great way for him to kind of take control over his image. So that's Namjoon. We're not going to go in. Actually, I decided we're not going to go in order. We're just going to go in the order of who they follow. Okay, Jimin not giving us much beyond my belief in. Also, like, can we talk about the. Also, for. Hope he just added a story. Or was it a story before? Okay, sorry. The follow count discrepancy is really weird to me. Either follow all of them or none of them. But you know, this goes to my distaste for, not distaste, let me not say distaste, it's not distaste, I kind of get why people have biases. I used to think that I had a bias. Like, I used to claim Namjoon as my bias, which I was so wrong. I would never ever ever be loyal to any man. I'll have biases in like girl groups and like other groups, but like, I just, I don't believe in it. Like, for example, Jisoo is my bias. I call her my bias, but I don't believe in bias. Did I ever say I made sense? No. But yeah, I wonder if they talk about it, and I wonder if it creates any weird stuff, because you have Jimin over here who doesn't really post anything, but he has 28.2 versus Namjoon that's 26.6, and he posts every single day. There is something very endearing about both Hobie and Namjoon. It's like endearing and sad about like how they put so much effort into their profiles, but at the end of the day, like solo fans and stuff like that, and their attraction to the MacNay line, they don't fucking care. God, that's a whole other podcast I could talk about like that. Okay. Jimin doesn't really give us much versus other than he seems like somebody who's dating somebody. Like, I mean, I don't have any official tea about Jimin, but I've heard things, and this, all these photos give, I went here with a significant other. You know, it's giving, I'm too busy being banged and banging other people to really, I think that, you know what, it's probably that, I think Instagram have, they probably don't want to log in because it's like overwhelming. Today I kind of asked. So, okay. So there's a photo of Megan Thee Stallion. I thought it was fun. She looks so fucking hot. She's so amazing. I love Megan. I want to be her. And she's my alt bias. And I was like joking. I was like, should I send this to Suga or Namjoon? Because I've recently become a shipper. And my ship is Megan Thee Stallion and Suga. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, Shanae, wasn't your ship Namjoon in Megan? And I'm over that now. I'm just like past that. Now my ship is Suga and Megan. And so I decided to send the picture to Namjoon and I sent one to Suga just as a joke. And I was just like, and then like people started to be like, oh yeah, I message them all the time. And I was like, what? And I've just been reeling from hearing everybody's confessions around messaging the guys. I find that to be fascinating. And listen, I will never, ever, 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 ever tell you to not shoot your shot. Ever. I just find our... I have so many things. I feel like I'm not ready to talk about this yet. I'm not ready to talk about the phenomenon of ARMY messaging BTS on Instagram. It's just like so much. And I don't want to like, and I'm not going to say anything offensive, but I feel like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not judging anybody. Like I know that it feels like I'm judging. It's just like putting the act within context of everything, it's just like my brain. So I'm not ready to talk about it right now. Moving on. Suga, also not much here other than like I feel like he's very dateable. I remember when I did a TikTok about all their Instagrams and everybody said that Suga looked like a catfish. I just think he seems like a really dateable guy. He's like just posting selfies and then him doing things and then work. I really like that. And this one selfie of him with his bare face when he had COVID, I guess, was something I think about a lot. I liked it. I'm gonna unlike it and like it again. So I feel like Suga, it's so interesting which members like take this opportunity to really take their image and sort of like how they're perceived and everything in their hands and what members are like, okay, I'm just going to post normally and kind of like, I don't know, like, because the coolest thing about this is that like, whether or not obviously it's clear that Hobie and Namjoon had private accounts or they were doing friendsters or whatever. But I think the other members have never had the opportunity to form what their online identity is and think in terms of how they want to express themselves online because they've been so private and not sort of like in the world for all this time. So it is really interesting to see them grapple with their identity online in ways that we did like in 2010 or a long time ago. This is the first time they're really fully public facing, and it is really interesting, especially Tae, who does a lot of like posting and deleting, and I think he's really like which I think that him posting and deleting is, I mean, I am notorious for posting and deleting on Instagram. Like that's what I do. Like I'll say something and I'm like, that's too much, and I'll delete it. But yeah, for me, Suga is like a good example of like, oh, I'm just a normal guy and they told me to have an Instagram, so here it is, but I don't know what I'm fucking doing. So yeah. So then we'll do Jin. And then Jin's, I feel like, is like actually like guy in the world that you like, I feel like he's like very dateable. Jin is always very dateable, but it's like, you know what I mean? He's like, seems like a normal dude. He's like, here's my food. Here's my friends. Here's something one of my friends gave me. Here's this photo I really like. Here's me at a strawberry farm. Like, you know what I mean? Like stuff like that is what his profile is. And it, for him, like, I feel like this is such an effective use of the platform. And it also does a really good job of maintaining what you perceive his brand as a person, because like I said, like the Namjoon really cultivating and doing that stuff with his image, really it does align with what he was doing before, but it heightens it even more. But with Jin, it's like, oh, this is just Jin. Although his photos look really good. I wonder who's editing them for him, if he's editing them. I also think the conversations that they have in the comments are really great. I'm so glad that they don't have comments from ARMY on here. So yeah, that's Jin. V! Oh my god, he's up to 32 million. Wow. Why do you think that is? Is Tae truly the most popular member of BTS now? Because I thought it was JK. Wait, let's see, what's the number differential? Pretty close. So as far as like popularity on Instagram, let's see. It's so V has the most, and then it's JK, and then it's Jimin. But who's next? So that's 28.2. Oh my gosh, Hobi's next. that makes me happy, right? So it's JK. Wait. Okay, so it's V, JK, Jimin, who, like I said, he's not even doing anything, and then Hobi. That makes me happy because Hobi's working so hard. You guys know I have a Hobi praise kink. Like, it's an active kink. Like, if I was in bed right now and if, like, a dude was like, oh, I love Hobi, I would, like, literally... God, why would I say something like that? Okay, anyway, back to V. So that's J-Hope. And then is it Namjoon next? And that's Namjoon. Wait. No, okay, it's Hobi, then it's Jin, and then it's Namjoon, and then Suga. Wow. Because the official rankings, the last time I checked for the search rankings were... But you know, I said this. I said that there was like a huge jump. I feel like I was saying that I felt like, well, first of all, when I went to the shows, there were a lot of people who were Suga sexuals, but there was like a ton of Hobi fans. So the rankings that I saw last were JK, V, Jimin, Suga, and then I think it was Jin, Namjoon, J-Hope. Pretty sure. Okay, anyway. V. So like myself, me and V both do our best work in stories. There's not really much to talk about in his feed. I find the fact that his feed is so like visually unappealing kind of endearing. That it's just like a bunch of photos and he's just like posting what he wants. I think that that's kind of cool. I really like the behind the scene photos that he posts. I think it's funny that he's a dirty deleter. The Emily in Paris posting really hurt my heart because I fucking hate Emily in Paris. I'm a hater. I don't have any reasons other than pure jealousy and hate and desire to create something cool. And I don't think that Emily in Paris is cool. And so I'm like I'm a vicious hater and I'm mean and I'm nasty. And I just hate. Oh my gosh, you can tag him? Do you think he sees these? Oh my god, can you tag all of them? Okay, no. V's the only one who has his tags on. Does he know that he has his tags on? Let's see, Jin. No. Does he mean to have his tags on like that? Am I in the right place? Okay, well, V is tagged, so there's stuff there. And yeah, I think that his best work is in stories. There's been some like really iconic videos of him destroying people and making people upset. with his behavior. I've said this before, but I think V is the finest. Like, I think he's the finest man on the planet. I think he's beautiful. I think he's art. He doesn't make me spaghetti, though. I don't see him that way. I just think he's just beautiful, hot, funny, great, an inspiration to us all. Okay, so that's V. It's so good. He's so good at Instagram. I just love how the reason why I love J-Hope's Instagram is because it's performative, but in a way that feels like it's for him. Like, if he feels like he's like able to express himself, like he has these amazing outfit posts. His commitment to social media, and it just feels like he's been waiting to be able to have a more direct connection with us and show. I'm gonna like all these. Fuck. Oh my god, I love him. Oh no, May's gonna get on me for that noise I just made. I just love him. It's just like he's really being creative for himself, really. He's like an example of like what I feel like Instagram was intended to be, which is like giving people who are artists a way to express other aspects of themselves and connect with people in ways that they can't outside of like the mediums that they work within. And I just think his feed is, he's just the coolest. I think he's really dope and cool. I love his commitment to, it's just, his feed feels very 2015 to me in like a really cool way, and his devotion to it. And like, I just think that he probably has I find it really inspirational. And I think that like all the time when people are like, BTS inspires me, again, I have no soul. I'm a heartless bitch and skank. But I do find Hobie to be inspiring. Like the way that he has crafted his image and used Instagram for this cool space to express himself, to be pretty dope. Okay, so this episode is way too long, and so I'm splitting it into two parts. And so you just listen to part one. Part two will be out next week. Yeah. And so in part two, we'll have JK, some other thoughts, some Q&A, and I'll probably add anything new that might have happened in the past week in this next week's episode. So there will be an episode next week. It'll be the second half of this episode. Awesome. What announcements do I have? Thank you so much for listening. Love you. Happy New Year. I have my Ko-Fi in the comments. People said that they wanted to still support in some shape of way. That's like not a big commitment. So Ko-Fi's there. Contribute to the Shanae moving / Alfred's expensive medical bills fund if you want. No pressure, of course. And I'll see you next week. Okay, bye.